Sparkle. You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time right now for the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard, right there, the Manipulators with Do the Excitation. And today on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with Mike from the Manipulators, who are playing this weekend, tomorrow, at the Hindenburg, 23 West Cordova. It's a 7-inch record release party. Also on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, coming up, an interview with Burn Dog Hyena, who are playing tonight at the Railway Club in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Right now, we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Who are you?
I am Mike Roach from the Manipulators.
Welcome to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
So I announced that you have a gig coming up, an important one, tomorrow. Please tell the people about it, and who else is in the Manipulators, and what is the occasion?
The occasion is, well, it's actually a double-header 7-inch release. We're posthumously releasing a 7-inch. We haven't been a band, actually, for about 4 years. And we just recently got back together just to release the 7-inch, along with the Mance from Victoria via Calgary. They're releasing the 7-inch as well. And also on the bill is the Vicious Cycles and High Waisted and DJ Keith McCafferty from Ireland.
And the Manipulators back after 4 years, the first gig pretty much headlining, at least, in 4 years in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, which is pretty amazing, because I was just thinking, wasn't you one of your last shows ever with Northwest Legends, the Pierced Arrows?
Yeah, I guess one of our last shows with the Pierced Arrows. Quite recall, though.
Which is really interesting, Mike, because one of your last shows with the Pierced Arrows, Northwest Punk Legends, and now, like, your first show back a couple weeks ago was with the Northwest Punk Legends, the ultimate Northwest Punk Legends, the Sonics.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Like, what a comeback. Like, you go out with the Pierced Arrows, and it's like, oh, we're never going to play with any band as big as the Pierced Arrows that have as much of a punk influence in the Northwest as the Pierced Arrows. And in your first gig back, who do you play with? The Sonics. Like, just think about that for a moment, eh?
Two of my favorite guitar players ever, too. No matter, not even that they're Northwest.
How did the gig with the Sonics go? I saw a photo of you up on stage. It looked like you had a mohawk. Did you get a mohawk for the gig?
No, I'm just trimming off the gray on the side. But yeah, I was, yeah, that's a pretty bad haircut.
I think it's pretty cool with all the respect you get from the garage rock community, like Fred Cole, the Sonics. How is Fred Cole doing? I heard that maybe he had some heart trouble. Fred Cole of Dead Moon, Pierced Arrows, Zipper, etc.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I tried following up with them, but I didn't hear anything back. I didn't want to get too intrusive. I do have some family emails from them, but I didn't want to start. They'd be like, who's this guy in Canada? What does he want? So I really haven't heard anything lately, but hopefully he's well.
Mike of The Manipulators, live here now on the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show. Could you describe your outfits? What's it like to see The Manipulators? What are your outfits like? What changes have you had over the years through The Manipulators?
I think we started off with these kind of frilly tuxedo shirts, all black, but then frilly tuxedo shirts with some red on them. And then later there were these like weird sort of Western shirts with a chest piece that would button up on it, and you'd just be covered in sweat underneath them. And then lately everybody got lazy and it's just a black shirt with a red neckerchief, or I believe that's what they're called. But that's, yeah, that's sort of been the long-running thing. And it's actually been kind of fun because we've saw people come into the shows and actually wearing it too. And it was, I guess it's an easy costume to put together.
Dave the Spaz from WFMU inspired some of your musical choices. Who inspired your outfits? Was that CCR inspired?
Yes, that's who it was. It was a picture we saw of John Fogerty, I think, wearing that. And we're like, well, what is he wearing on his neck? And then we're like, okay, we got to do that. Yeah, we were hoping to go the full pull and have all custom amps and everything and do everything CCR did. But yeah, didn't get quite that far.
Did you always throw, like, plastic tambourines into the crowd?
Yeah, I think so, from day one. Just thought it'd be a sort of dumb, fun, gimmicky crowd participation thing, and then it kind of stuck. And then most people just knew it was the band that was throwing toys at them.
Right off the top of the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, I play Do the Excitation. What can you tell the people about that, Mike from The Manipulators, playing tomorrow night at the Hindenburg? You wanted me to play another track from your brand new 7-inch, and that's kind of why you're on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here today, is because the 7-inch is out, you're doing a gig, The Manipulators are back together just for this particular release party. What can you tell the people about Do the Excitation and about the new 7-inch and being back?
Well, that song was long out of sort of canon of anything we were doing, but that was probably the first song that we kind of put together, and that was with the first lineup of people.
Thank you, Sean Law.
Thank you, Sean Law. I'm not sure why, but always thank you to Sean Law.
Wasn't Sean Law important with The Manipulators, establishing your lineup? Like, for instance, Sean Law put on a gig with the Rippers, and didn't Ben go to see the Rippers? And then that's how come Ben plays drums for the Manipulators, playing tomorrow night at the Hindenburg.
Yes. Yeah, you did. And we were, I think we were trying to get in contact with each other or something at the time. I was like wanting to get on that bill, and he was wanting us to get on the bill. And we played with the amazing Rippers from Italy. And Rob and Ben happened to show up, and I think Rob told Ben, this is the kind of band you should be in. And then weirdly enough, we were looking for a drummer, and my friend Jason Solium referred us to Ben, and then Ben said, yeah, I just saw you guys, and it was quite soon after the Rippers show, so Ben joined.
And you've had some good times, haven't you, at Neptune Records? Like, you met Mark Maron at Neptune Records.
Yeah, met Mark Maron there one day. They get a lot of celebrities kind of popping in there. But Mark Maron was one that Ben had to actually call me and say, get down here. because I'm a pretty faithful WTF listener.
And we're speaking here to Mike from The Manipulators, who are back together tomorrow night at the Hindenburg. What do you know about the Hindenburg opening tomorrow night in Vancouver?
I know it pretty well because when over the summer, I actually helped sort of renovate the place with Mr. Dave Dupree. And I think he did a mighty fine job at the place.
What gigs do you remember happening at the Cruel Elephant or Hungry Eye? Do you remember going to? And is there anything left over from those days? Was it this empty ever since those places closed?
I'm sure. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff down in the basement. But yeah, in the early days, I remember seeing Rocker from the Crypt, Jesus Lizard with John Spencer opening, 9 Pound Hammer, Superconductor. It was just a place you just rolled into, and there was always good shows going.
That's what's so amazing about you, Mike, is you've probably been at like every important Vancouver gig for the last 20 years, haven't you?
Yeah, the Cruel Elephant, sort of Hungry Eye era, and then there was later on the Piccadilly Pub era. That was like a rumpus room that you could just roll into anytime, and there was usually always good bands playing, and a lot of friends were made. I haven't really seen a place like that quite since those days, but it was good times.
Right now, Mike, you have supplied us with a little rarity. We're about to hear Guacamole and Ringo. What are we about to hear? What is this?
I dug this up. This is our guitar player, Alex. I guess he was just home one night and he made this himself. And I thought I hadn't heard this in years, and I thought it was pretty amazing. So I thought you'd get a kick out of it, and that'd be worth sharing with the world.
So here we have Guacamole and Ringo by Alex from The Manipulators, who are playing tomorrow night, their last gig ever, your last gig ever, possibly.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
At the Hindenburg, here's Guacamole and Ringo.
I'm ready. Let's go.
You're still listening to the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there Guacamole and Ringo by Alex from The Manipulators. There's no other Manipulators on that track, is there, Mike?
No, that's all him. That's just him and a drum machine. And I don't know what he was using over there.
Mike of The Manipulators, what about the future? What's coming up in the future? Do you still have the band The No-See-ums? What's everybody else doing once The Manipulators stop playing? Like Sunday morning, when everybody goes back to other bands, what is everybody else going to do?
Well, we've got Mike Park on bass, who is playing with a band called The Worshippers right now. And then we got Alex Angel, he's playing with Fashionism. We've got Mel, who's our organ player. She plays with the Belladines. And Ben Frith plays with the Belladines as well as a band called Stork. And all their bands are fantastic. So I think that's their future.
And how about you? Yeah. Weren't you in a band in No-See-ums?
I'm just going to travel the highways. I was in the No-See-ums with Alex for a little bit. That is now 6 feet under as well.
And you recently were in Europe and you went to my Woody bar?
Yeah, that place was awesome. In France. I went to two tiki bars in France. I don't know why I was just going to tiki bars, but my Woody was more of a surfy. They had like pictures of the whalers and stuff on the wall. It's a really small bar, but a lot of fun and free jukebox and strong drinks.
So far on a Nerdwire to Human Serviette radio show, speaking to Mike from the Manipulators, I played an older track by you guys. I played a track that you don't even play on, but now I'm going to play a track from the recently released 7-inch that people can get tomorrow night at the Hindenburg. I'm going to play Simeon again. What can you tell the people about that particular track? That's the focus track, isn't it?
The focus track?
The focus track. That's what like industry execs call like the important track, you know, the focus track, right?
Oh, I'm still out of the loop. Yeah, well, no, that was our, I guess, there you go with the neckerchiefs with CCR. This was our sort of tip of the hat to CCR. I guess it was a little bit different than some of the more sort of garagey R&B kind of stuff. But this was our sort of CCR tribute.
Mike of the Manipulators, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Not too much, just yeah, if you can make it out to the show, come on down and rattles for all.
And why should people care about the Manipulators? Why should people care?
Well, because we only got another 36 hours left.
All right, well, thanks so much, Mike. Keep on rocking in the free world and do-do-da-loot-do. And you're still listening to the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there, Burn Dog Hyena with Punk in an Old Folks Home. Punk on CITR Radio. And before that, we heard The Manipulators, a little extendo mix of Do the Excitation mixed with Simeon. Now, what do you know about Prince George? Like, these guys here are experts on Prince George, and now your daughter is in Prince George. I don't think you'd like to ask these guys. They are experts at Prince George.
Let me see. You got moose running up there through the campus yet, still?
Of course.
Unbelievable.
How about,
what a place.
How about streets? Do you know any streets in Prince George at all, caller?
No, I can't say I do, no.
None off the top of your head?
None off the top of my head.
Any other buildings?
Stay out of the correctional center.
Nice.
Where is the correctional center? Do you guys remember the street?
On the hill.
Let's just test.
It's on the hill past the pulp mill going towards the airport.
Oh, okay. Sounds pretty good. Well, thanks so much for calling in, caller. And when is your daughter has a show on CFUR?
No, she's helping out. Just helping out administrative.
Okay. Well, what times is she helping out? I.e., what times is she maybe going to be on the air?
She hasn't told me.
Oh, okay.
She's just, you know, settling in, right?
Sounds good. Well, thanks for phoning in, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
And you're still listening to the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show, wow, with Burn Dog Hyena, an actual Prince George connection.
Nice.
People love the George.
Killer.
And I want to bring it back to Prince George for a second. July 4th toilet, Evan.
Yes.
That's not Prince George, is it?
No, it's Fort St. John if you're talking about Mr. Robert Dayton.
And they had an important gig the other night, didn't
they?
Yes,
they played last night, actually, on Main Street at that former porn theater. What's the venue called?
Fox.
Now? The Fox Theater.
Did you go see it?
No, I actually went to bed and then woke up this morning going, oh, I was going to go to July 4th toilet. They hate me.
What's the difference between where Rob is from and Prince George? Because I always said that Rob was from Prince George.
Prince George is the party capital of the universe.
Well, Fort St. John is
is not the party capital of the universe.
And that is actually the difference. Fort St. John is very, very, you know, resource-based, and so is Prince George, but Prince George over time, it's bigger and it's a little bit more...
diversified.
It's a little bit more diversified.
We have a university.
Yeah, they got a university. Whereas Fort St. John is, you know, it's Fort St. John, and it's got its good points. My dad lived there for many years, but now he lives in Dawson Creek.
So if anybody has any Prince George questions, it's 604-822-247, 604-UBCCITR for Burn Dog Hyena, who are back together 32 years to play Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. 32 years!
Yahoo!
Tonight, finally headline. And again, it wasn't like 32 years either that you were doing nothing. It was pretty much no gigs for 32 years, wasn't it?
For Burn Dog Hyena, yes, very true. Yeah.
So no gigs, and now 32 years later, playing Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And you've brought in a whole bunch of tracks here. You're playing tonight at the Rail. What do you have coming up right here, Evan?
The next song is called Branium Electric. It features Joe on acoustic guitar, and he played it for me so that I could learn the song so that we could play it.
So are we playing
tonight
all new Burn Dog Hyena? Do we have any old Burn Dog Hyena?
The next song after that is called Theme Inside a Swamp Sinking Part 1, and it was recorded in 1985.
So here we go with the rock and roll band known as Burn Dog
Hyena!
Live on the Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Radio Show!
Was Ned. Ned had a doorman gene, but Mr. Policeman had no prior knowledge. When Mr. Policeman applied electricity, Ned did not scream or make sounds like a Wookiee. Ned just disappeared into the thin air, into another dimension. Ned went to Plasma Land, alternate universe, blue with electricity. Ned partook in all the festivities, partied outside the water bag, His name was Nick. Nick was a rogue scientist on the money people's hit list. They shut down his lab and called him a cab. Others took credit for Nick's inventions, but Nick did not care. He found the knowledge. The knowledge of holy voltage radio.
And you're still listening to the Nardwar, the Human Serviette Radio Show. That was
Burn Dog Hyena.
From what year?
1985.
Punk rock. Prog punk from Prince George. What'd you like to tell the people about that particular track?
It's called Theme Inside a Swamp Sinking Part 1, and it's one of the very few instrumentals that I ever wrote. You know, I guess we came from, you know, grew up in the 70s, and it was kind of, prog was like a bigger thing, and I don't think that we kind of realized that we weren't really good enough to be prog, but nowadays I think we can at least safely call ourselves prog punk. But at the time, I don't think that we didn't think of ourselves as punk. Punk was just sort of starting. I remember my friend Clay brought over Body Bag by No Means No, and that was kind of the first time I heard anything like that. And anyways, so Theme Inside a Swamp was kind of written to write, let's write a complicated, heavy song, and that's what came out.
And you were not on a particular recording, Brian, from Burndog Hyena?
That's right, I'm not on that one yet.
Why were you not on that particular recording?
Well, I left the band about a year before that, I guess.
No, actually, it was this similar time.
Do you remember the song? Did you jam on that one before?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
And how about the track that we heard before that one? What did we hear before that one? It was a new track, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's called Branium Electric, and Joe recorded. We recorded that so that I could learn it, and we're now playing it live. We finally, I think last night, nailed it, or we've been working on it all week to get it perfect.
Even if we didn't nail it, we're pretty good at faking.
And you're going to be faking it tonight at the Railway Club.
Damn straight.
Thank you for being here, Canada. We're speaking here live to Burndog Hyena from Prince George, British Columbia, Canada. Earlier on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, had Mike Roach from The Manipulators from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, who are playing tomorrow night at the Hindenburg, which used to be the
Cruel Elephant?
Yes. Wow. And speaking of different people on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, that's how I sort of met you, through you coming onto the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. Right, Evan?
Yes, that is very correct.
And when you were on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, there were always lots of different people on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show.
Yes, they were. I still remember one of the first questions, I think it was in 1988, and you interviewed me, and we were talking about the song Kill X. And I was being all really, really, really serious and explaining, you know, the important environmental message of Kill X. And you went, so is Kill X a drug you'd like to smoke?
Also, you were protecting me from Robin Hitchcock. Remember that? Weren't you like on a Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show when Robin Hitchcock was on? Or when it might have been that Bob Dogg? Because remember, there was
maybe it was Bob Dogg. Yeah, because always... I would have remembered that. I really like Robin Hitchcock.
Okay. Oh, you did. Okay, because it was. How did
was
I?
He mean, was he mean?
How did I meet you? Was that through Keith Perry?
No. Actually, you met me because I was attempting to be a DJ on CITR when I first moved to Vancouver in 1988, and then you came up to me with my cassette and said, "You're a star."
Well, you had a cassette. I was really envious. That's amazing. Prince George, early 1980s. Take us back, Brian.
For me or the city?
Everything. The environment that Burndog Hyena was around.
Well, at that time, there wasn't much of a music scene in Prince George, so we had a hard time people taking us serious. In fact, I think we're quite a bit ahead of
they
our time.
They hated us.
The same music now people seem to like, and back then they hated the name, too. Even tell them the name and they would just go, really? Like, pick a different name. That made me just want to keep it even more.
But it started as Pastoral Chainsaw?
That's right.
Correct. So they didn't like that name either?
I love that.
They didn't get a chance. It didn't last long.
But you're saying you weren't too receptive. But, quote, the city is not known to be receptive for their type of music. And that was a review in the Prince George Citizen. You actually had a review.
Yes, by Mark Allen, correct.
But pretty amazing. Like, if you weren't kind of receptive, if the city did not like you guys, you still got a review in the main newspaper.
Yeah, well, Mark was kind of interested in different music, and he had a whole one band to choose from in Prince George. So,
Urban Distress.
Well, they didn't know about Urban Distress, probably, because they didn't do a big show that was advertised.
Who was Urban Distress, Joe?
They were a killer punk band from Prince George.
And what happened to them?
One of the people passed away from MS, and the other person is the manager of the publicity manager for the Prince George Cougars.
But I still have a hard time taking you seriously saying that you weren't revered, because your first gig, every band wants to get press, and your first and basically only gig was reviewed in the Prince George Citizen.
Well, true.
Like the main newspaper. So for a casual observer looking back through microfiche, it would be like, wow, here's this local band. They got reviewed, your only gig, you know?
Yeah, no, it was pretty fantastic that he did that. And, you know, we were kids and, wow, we're in the Citizen. That was a big deal.
What were the gigs like, Brian?
They were wild.
What makes something wild?
Well, because we were young and, you know, we might have wanted to party a little bit. And the people that went there liked to party, too. So it was, yeah, they were pretty wild gigs. Like, when I wasn't in the band, they did one with a band called Desperate Minds. And that was a great show.
Was that the first punk gig in Prince George?
It was definitely one of the first punk gigs. I think there was Teenage Head played, but as far as like it being local bands, when we played with DMS, that was probably pretty much the first one that I knew about. DMS featured Sean Hollowaychuk, who is now a recording engineer at Profile Studios.
DMS, I thought it was Desperate Minds.
Yes, Desperate Minds Stagnation. They used to have Stagnation in their name, so everybody kind of called them DMS, but then they changed their name to Desperate Minds. And you were telling me once that you were somewhere like, and people, that was the band they remembered because they toured.
Exactly. In fact, there's weird connections all over the place for Desperate Minds. Scott from Desperate Minds, I don't remember Scott, one of the guys, Scott from Desperate Minds, he's cousins with Tim from Rancid.
Oh.
Which is really wild. And Tim from Rancid didn't even know that till they met in like 87 in Chicago. Yeah, because they were touring lots. And Desperate Minds also played a lot of gigs with SNFU when they toured up and down the coast.
Yeah,
so they really got out there. So they were one of the few bands that actually toured. And you actually played with them. What was reception for that gig? Did anybody know who they were, or were they coming out to see you? Because they had a big backdrop and everything.
It was, I don't know, you want to answer that?
Yeah, they said that we were the most killer slammers that they had ever seen after touring all over the States and Canada and stuff.
How did you get in touch with them?
Our friend Clay, who was the only actual punk that we knew in Prince George.
Yeah, the only guy that ever had a, you know, what they call those, mohawk thingy.
Yeah, and he's actually coming to the show tonight from Souk. He organized Desperate Minds and sort of a lot of that part of the show. And it was actually a hall show. And of course, like when we had hall shows, well, the first show that we did that was a big show that got reviewed in the Citizen was actually at the Prince George Playhouse. Now, I don't know how the hell that they, you know, let us get away with this, but we, you know, I mean, it was like a nice theater and there was like beautiful seats and everything. And like after the end of the show, there was like cigarettes and butts and burns in the chairs and, you know, booze.
It sounded so good that night though.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Hashtag pigs gorge punk, right, Joe? Hashtag pigs gorge punk.
That sounds like a hashtag to me.
That's the hashtag for Burn Dog Hyena, who are live here on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, playing tonight at the Railway Club. The Railway Club in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, right, Evan?
Yes, playing at the Railway Club with Aging Youth Gang, Tarantula Head, and the Salvos.
When you played with Desperate Minds, how much did you watch them? Did Sean Chikara remember you guys? Because later you ended up hooking up with Sean from Chikara, right?
Yeah, that's right. I went and visited him in Kamloops another time a year or so later. And that kind of solidified the fact that we kind of knew each other. We watched the whole show and everything, and like Kim was like this amazing drummer and he just kicked serious ass. And so we were pretty impressed by them. And then later I went and visited him in Kamloops and he gave me a t-shirt and another, and they had 7 inches and stuff. Like, and they were way cooler than us when it came to that sort of thing. And then later when, you know, I moved to Vancouver in 88 and Sean, I think moved here maybe in 90 or something like that. And, later I played with Sean in a band called Red Sugar.
You mentioned the No Means No record. Where did your friend get that? Was there a record store?
There was a place called Classic Records, and he had that sort of thing for sale at Classic Records. Yes.
So, what sort of punk bands did come from Prince George? What were the punk bands that came from Prince George?
Urban Distress,
there's not many.
There's not many, and it's funny. Like nowadays,
3 inches of Blood, right?
Are they from Prince George?
No, I don't think so.
Originally, some of the guys are from Prince George. Because I know we played there once in 1995 with a band, and the guys ended up going on to Prince. It's 3 inches of Blood. Yeah.
Okay. I have to say that like I mostly know art bands in Prince George now, so I don't know who are the latest sort of punk groups that have come out.
But even in the past 32 years.
Well, there was really, in the 80s, the only punk bands that I knew of were Burndog Hyena and Urban Distress. There was another band with Brad Lambert, and I had a conversation with him about it. Brad Lambert, who has played in many Vancouver bands.
Sarcastic Mannequins.
Yes, Sarcastic Mannequins. And
The Real Mackenzies.
The Real Mackenzies. And I saw him on the street, and we were talking about it, and he said, yeah, well, we had a band, and we could have played, and we didn't play the Battle of the Bands, but because we knew that it would be a bad idea, and now we wish that we had of. And I think that they just, unlike us who were, you know, just naive and stupid and said, what do you mean we can't do a show? We can do a show. Who cares what anybody thinks? So what if they hate us? We'll play a show. Well, Brad, they were way smarter, and they went, everyone will hate us, so they didn't play.
How about of top 40 bands? Like, I'm just curious of any bands from Prince George or members that lived in Prince George that went on to bands.
There's a band that's name should have been a punk band, but they were a top 40 band, and that was
Sweet Hostage.
Did they release anything? Did they
have actually, they had a 12-inch. They had a 12-inch.
They were a local band.
Yeah, they had a 12-inch in the 80s. They played quite a bit.
We should look them up. Maybe we have their record here?
Yeah, I doubt it. They wouldn't have sent it to CITR, I don't think. They had to send it to, like, Feldman or something.
964-9222.
Oh, my. That's my phone number from way back.
Is that the number that you guys would call? For practice?
Yeah.
Who organized the Burndog Hyena practices?
Well, originally, we actually practiced at Joe's parents' place quite a bit, and then eventually I got my own place.
That's freaking me out.
So,
Nardware, where did you get this number?
You're Fat Joe Satan. We have to know.
Yeah, it's okay, all...
Okay, whatever.
Yes, Purdue site.
Oh, tune's coming up. What do we want to hear right now? What do we want to hear? What do the listeners want to hear right now?
The next song is going to be Stuff All Over the Place, and it's about, it's kind of a quasi-environmental / But I'm a Big Pig type of a song.
Now, is this new Burndog Hyena?
It's new for Burndog Hyena. It was originally written, actually, my friend Al Stanley used to basically say, I stole the idea from him, and I remember him saying something along the lines of, yes, when we die, all of our stuff will have made a great big hole. And so I wrote a song about that, and then I wanted it to sound sort of like Aging Youth Gang, actually, so it's fitting that we play it now, because we're playing tonight with Aging Youth Gang, who are a long time Vancouver punk band. They started in 1990. And before that, there were a band called The Spores. And then after that is going to be Classic Rock, which Joe can explain about Classic Rock.
Yeah, there's something you'd like to say about that particular track. I saw it on your SoundCloud. Is this a vintage track?
No, this is from...
brand new. It was like August or something.
Yeah, it was in August. And Brian had this little mini pocket amp. And we recorded the destruction of this mini pocket amp.
So here we go on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. It's Burndog Hyena with Stuff All Over the Place and then an edit of Classic Rock. Evan, what's going on there? An edit.
Well, it was 7 minutes
Joe's
long.
Joe's artistic and...
Yeah, I know. Well, he even said that it was only good till about minute three anyway. So, yes, we artistically edited it down for radio.
A Burndog Hyena?
Stuff all over the place, and it's been a great big hole. And I see money buying children's clothes. And I see lies taking too much gold. Someday when I'm dead, that griffin hole will be filled with me and all of my stuff. I love stuff, but I don't love the waste. I love people, but I'm too busy making more hoes.
Just small, I wanted to play in a rock and roll band to this very day. Well, I was sitting at home like a good little girl when the boys come along and said, girl, do I now a rock and roll star? In the cabaret, it was really tough. They all called a bluff, but we showed them we could. We had to knock on wood. Now we're rock and roll stars, and we're gonna go far. Sweet hostages here, we're gonna drink your beer and go far. Sweet hostages here, we're gonna drink your beer and go far.
Sweet hostages here. We're going to drink your beer and go. What was going on right there? We're live in the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show here with Burn Dog Hyena from Prince George. And you guys wanted me to go deep in the vault and show to people what you're up against. We just mentioned them a bit earlier, but what did we just hear right there?
We just heard Sweet Hostage, which was a local Prince George band who had a vinyl record out. And they probably, you know, when they sang that song, they probably thought that they were going to move to Hollywood and actually really go far.
And that's what you were up against. That's what the Burn Dog Hyena was up against.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
And before the Sweet Hostage, we heard some vintage Burn Dog Hyena or newer Burn Dog Hyena?
Newer Burn Dog Hyena. Classic rock, which was done last summer at Brian's place when his amp was blowing up. And Stuff All Over the Place, which was recorded, I think, in March-ish of this year or April.
Burn Dog Hyena are live on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show playing tonight. Right, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. Rare Club. Yahoo!
Burn Dog Hyena. It's interesting. You guys drove all the way to California to get Carvin gear?
Yes, we did.
Was it that hard to go down there to get it?
Well, not. I don't know. It was like, you know, there's so many stories.
And you still play with the Carvin gear?
Yeah, I actually still have. The guitar is still my main guitar. I have a couple PA speakers and a power amp that I bought on that trip that I still use all of the time. And they're 30 years old.
So you guys had to go from Prince George all the way down to California, Brian?
Yeah, and we went to Frank Zappa's management company, and there was nobody there. It was awesome. Zappa dolls, and we left him a cassette. He never got back to us, though.
Yeah, it was one. It was very embarrassing when I think of it in retrospect, simply because I gave him a cassette of like some stuff, varying jams and, you know, us barely playing or whatever, and almost doing songs. And later I realized that if you wanted to play for Frank Zappa, that you know, of course, had to give him a tape playing Frank Zappa songs. Well, it was on Sunset Boulevard, and we got to the place that was his management company. Well, they were moving out. And so we only knew that it was there because we read at the back of the album cover had the address on Sunset Boulevard. So we went straight there when we got to L.A. And we went in, and the door wasn't locked, but there was nothing there except for a Frank Zappa doll with a pin that said Zappa Crappa, and he was sitting on the toilet. Well, I thought that this was my way of like actually getting to meet, you know, Frank Zappa. The door is open, and the doll could be stolen. So we went outside and we found the phone number for the management company or whoever, and I said, look, the door is open, and people could get in and steal the Frank Zappa doll. And then he came down right away, and then I gave him a cassette.
That was genius! That was a genius way to get the manager down.
Well, yeah, except that I could have stolen the Frank Zappa doll. That was not the genius.
So he came down, you gave him the cassette, and then you went to buy Carvin gear?
Yes, we went to, and that was in Escondido, California, which is even further south. Now, basically, we were in Prince George and Young and Stupid, and Brian and I were both in a car accident, and we got all of this money for the settlement, and I wanted to spend mine on gear, and Brian spent his on his truck. So we took his truck and Angela, who you've met, and we drove. Angela was like 18 then, and we drove all the way to Escondido because we had the Carvin catalog, and it had all of these, you know, awesome deals on good stuff, and all we had was B&B Music, which was a ripoff joint, and actually a new store in town. Actually, they've labeled their washroom B&B. But anyways, so we went all the way down. We went all the way down to Escondido, California, and bought a number of pieces of gear, and then when we came, we got them to write us a fake receipt for a 1/3 of what we paid for everything. And then when we came across the line to do duty, we also said we were in a band together traveling, and when we should have paid about $700 in duty, instead, because we had the fake receipt and we split it three ways, we paid $20 in duty.
What do you remember about that trip, Brian?
We went to Ralph Records. That was like amazing. Snake Finger, The Residents, Chrome. Me and Evan brought one of each of all the records, but if I had to do it again, I would have bought them all myself.
Did you give cassette demos to Ralph Records too?
I can't remember if we did.
Seems like a really amazing trip.
It was.
Actually get into the Zappa office. You guys must have been so excited.
Well, yeah, we were like 21.
We should also mention that Frank Zappa plays Carvin. So that was also one of the reasons why Evan was interested in Carvin stuff, because Zappa was kind of their poster guy at that time.
And you'll be playing that tonight at the Railway Club.
No, actually, Brian's playing guitar tonight, and he's playing my Brian Moore, but I'm playing bass guitar tonight.
Joe, there's a picture of you, like, eating a drum brick. What is that? What is that from? There's, like, a drum brick.
That's a drum brick. I'm not eating it, am I? I'm just carrying it.
It looks like you're eating it or carrying with your teeth. What's going on there?
Really? No, I'm just carrying it.
Joe needs bricks.
I don't have any teeth to carry with, so I'm like...
Why do you need bricks, Joe?
Why do I need bricks, Joe?
He's a beast.
Brian, tell me about the Crossroads Chili.
Oh, Crossroads Chili! Okay, well, my radio show is with a friend of mine called Wayne Hughes, and it's called Rip Radio. We've been on the air for about 4 years, and we enter... a chili cook-off every year. Bum. And this year we got Fat Joe Satan to play blues guitar.
What's the recipe?
Oh, I can't say that. The recipe was actually given to Robert Johnson at the Crossroads. So, I mean, it goes way back. I had to give my soul for that recipe. I'm not giving it up.
Quote, cowboy, writer, and conservationist. Who was R.D. Simons?
He is someone who is having an art exhibit in Saskatchewan even to this day. Very recently, in the last couple of years, I got an email from a woman online, and she wanted to know if I had any art by R.D. Simmons. And R.D. Simmons is an author. He's written books about ranching and about the destruction of the, you know, ranch in favor of the farm, because he was very pro ranching and not farming. What he saw was that you know, the entire prairies would become barbed wire fence, and he liked the open range. And he did a lot of art. He drew a lot of pictures of things like birds and horses and that sort of thing, and he's a published author. In Saskatchewan, they're still interested enough in R.D. Simmons that 40 years after his death, he has had an art exhibit in two towns, and they assembled, they got a grant from the government, and they assembled about a collection of about 50 of his paintings and reframed them all and are showing them in, I believe, Swift Current and also Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
And he's your grandfather?
He's my grandfather.
Do you have any of his stuff?
Yes, I do. I have two things that are actually in the exhibit right now. So they're in Saskatchewan. When Sheena and I were on tour, on a solo tour, I dropped them off and they were reframing them. And I still have a couple of other ones at home.
Were they excited? And did you see any of the other ones?
Yeah, actually, they were really, really, really fantastic. They took us down. It wasn't on exhibit yet. They were just preparing the exhibit. And they took us down into the cold room and showed us everything out of frames. It was more of his art than I'd ever seen in my life. And my dad has quite a big collection, but I had never seen a lot of them other than some of the pictures I'd seen in books. He has a book called Hours and the Birds, which has a bunch of writing about where he had, you know, had drawn all of these bird pictures. And so I'd seen some of the pictures from that. It was super exciting, and they were really, really gracious and really, really nice. And it was just kind of cool to be in, you know, Moose Jaw and seeing my grandfather's work that, you know, he passed away in about 1971. So it's interesting that they're still that interested in him.
Quote, one guy who was in a Sonic Youth clone band must have felt that it was okay to copy his heroes, but not okay for anyone else. He sneered at Jerry's picture.
Yeah, well, Jerry was one of my best friends, you know, when we played, we had this sort of cover band, I guess probably as a reaction to all the rejection. I got this chance to play with some 17-year-olds when I was about 24, and we learned a whole bunch of covers, and I sang and played bass because Jerry was the cool, flashy 80s guitar player. And we played all of these teenage parties, and they were fun. And we had so much fun. And anyways, Jerry was really into Steve Vai, and he somehow got a body for a Steve Vai flame guitar. Like it was a copy of the Steve Vai flame guitar, which of course, I mean, this was 1991 and or 1990, and you know, everybody was like really pretty anti. You know, Van Halen or Steve Vai or anything like that. And there was this picture that of Jerry up on my wall that he had sent me, and it was him with the flame guitar, it was a picture of the flame guitar and his hair, and they had kind of blown his hair really like it had fake wind. And this picture was up, and right next to it, my little brother had given me a Led Zeppelin flag, and I felt like I should put it up on the wall. Well, I guess when this particular band, who shall go nameless at this point, came into my studio, they knew I was a goof.
Quote, Nardwar, who I later worked with for 9 years on Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR, a show I now host, described a prog rock band as a total loser outfit.
Yeah, and I actually put that on one of my CDs, and he says, so you're in another band, Evan, you're with another band, weren't you? And was that a total loser outfit? What was, I don't know, who do you mean? Dang! And it's on my 10-year obsession CD.
But I probably meant like teenage zit rock loser, because that's what I called music. Teenage zit rock losers.
Oh, okay.
See, I've been misrepresented all these years.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, Stang was an interesting experience. I mean, basically they had 34 really, really complicated songs that we all had to learn. One of them had, you know, like 25 parts that went like, and but 25 different ones that you had to learn. And for some reason that they figured that their first show could be at UBC in the sub ballroom. And, you know, so they had all of these backdrops and everything, and we set up all in there, and we practiced for the show. And, well, you know, the 50 people came, and they lost their shirt. And, you know, it was kind of sad in a way, but it was sort of reminiscent almost in a way of Sweet Hostage, just in a little bit different way.
Tonight at the Railway Club, not a Stang reunion, it's Burndog Hyena playing Burndog Hyena from Prince George, their first gig in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, their first gig in Vancouver in 32 years, because there's never been any gigs in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And you, Brian, you've known Evan since summer of 69, like that long?
Yeah, since grade one.
What was it like back then, summer of 69?
Well, for me, it was weird. I was in grade one, and I didn't know anyone, and I wasn't really ready for school either, so.
What was Evan like back then, and how did you meet Joe?
I met Joe through Evan, actually, when he was playing in a different cover band. I'm not sure what Evan was like in grade one. I didn't know him that well, but I remember he got caught playing with razor blades and cut himself all up.
Yeah, my friend Craig Meikle, and I remember Craig, he cut himself worse than me. It was Craig's idea, I think, to play with the razor blades, but then he had his one hand that had a great big bandage around it, and another one with a little bandage, and he sang, Fatty and Skinny went to town. but anyways, yes, another thing that happened in grade one, which was sort of embarrassing to relate this story, but it's kind of funny. Another person that we knew quite well later, his name was Dave Ross, and we had a fight, and Dave beat me up, and I was like really, really mad. So I went up to Dave and I punched him really hard in the back and he started crying. Well, Brian tried to fink on me to the teacher, and then he had to, stay after class for not shutting up. And I got away with it.
You rat!
What do you remember about that, Brian?
Zero. Was that me? You sure?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely you, yeah. No, and sure, I remember that. No, it wasn't Richard, because it was grade one with Miss Baird. But anyways, yeah, we met in grade one. We didn't really start hanging out until about grade eight, but we went to the same elementary school for 7 years.
So just quickly, in case people are wondering, we're speaking here to Burn Dog Hyena. You're back together. First gig in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. First gig in Vancouver in 32 years, but there were no gigs in Vancouver before that at all.
Yes, that's correct.
What happened after Burn Dog Hyena?
Joe moved to Prince George, to Vancouver first, and he had a group with Keith Perry called Total Tourist.
Which was named after one of Brian's songs.
Called Total Tourist.
How did you meet Keith Perry?
He went to school with my brother, Link.
So Keith is from Prince George too?
No, he's from Courtenay, BC. My parents moved to Courtenay, and I was still living in Prince George. And then my brother moved to Vancouver with his friends, and we crashed on Keith Perry's couch, who was living with my brother at the time. And that's how I met Keith
And then
Perry.
Total Tourist eventually broke up, and then he started other bands like Octatractor and stuff. How was the timeline for that?
What was that other band? There was Octatractor.
Silent Gathering?
In the Muck, but there was one before that.
Silent Gathering is...
Gathering.
Yeah, I remember Gathering. I don't remember anybody else.
As you guys are talking about this era, you're drifting away from the microphone. Sort of like to keep it still mysterious. I guess maybe I should be getting a hint there.
I just don't remember much from that era.
I do remember, though, Evan, thank you for grabbing the mic. I'm pointing at you because there was a guy that told me you should never point at anybody. You know who that was?
Oh, who was that?
You helped do security at a gig that I put on.
Oh, okay. And
he didn't like anybody, because he says if you point at somebody, it's like pointing a gun at them. You should never point at anybody.
Oh.
Do you remember that gig?
No.
North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada?
Oh, you mean like the Fugazi show?
Yes. Didn't you help with the security?
Yes, I did. Yes.
What do you remember about that, helping with security at Fugazi in 91?
Well, that was... was that the biggest show that Nardware ever put on?
It was.
I guess I remember the Smugglers being there and playing that show. I still have the plasticized Fugazi poster on my wall at my place in Texada, British Columbia, Texada Island, British Columbia. And there was a lot of people at that show, and it was a huge gig. And I remember Lisa Marr talking about how you always called me Evan Simina. I don't know why I remember
it's
that.
It's really Evan Simons.
Simmons, actually.
Is your relatives called Simons?
No. It's funny. When I moved to Texada, across the street from our place on Texada is a person whose name was, I think, Paul Simmons. And one day I went up, and I'm sure that everybody thinks he was my dad. I think he passed away recently, but I think everybody thinks he was my dad because we lived across the street. And one day I finally met him after living there for a few years, and I said, we've got the same last name. And he goes, do you pronounce it the same way too? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, why the hell do we pronounce it that way? No one ever gets it. And I guess that in Britain, that's how they pronounce it. And my dad was so like adamant that his name was Simmons. Simmons is actually cooler because it's a bit more unique, and I should have just went with it. But instead, I don't tell everybody that it's Simmons. But my dad, he was so angry that no one ever got that it was Simmons and that he was always called Simons. So he named my sister Sylvia because he thought that that would make it really obvious. But then they still called her Sylvia Simons.
Very interesting background from Evan Simina live here on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. And Evan, of course, doing Thunderbird Radio Hell all those years. You had some interesting encounters like Feist, early Feist. Wasn't that one of the interesting encounters?
Yeah, Amy Honey had been on tour with her group, you can do it.
Clover Honey.
And they had met, I guess they played a show. And with Feist and Seghetti, and what had happened was that Leslie and David Segetti both had albums that came out at the exact same time, and they didn't really have a band together to tour, so they decided that they would tour promoing both their CDs as Feist and Segetti with the same band, which included another person called World Provider. In any case, I went down to Amy sent me an email saying, gee, you should come down and check out Feist and Segetti. So I thought, well, great. And I came down and I was like, they were really quite good. And I mean, they were really pro, but they were good pro kind of. I was particularly excited by Feist's guitar playing. And so I had a free night on Thunderbird Radio Hell, so I said, well, why don't you guys come tomorrow night and play Thunderbird Radio Hell? And then I recorded it on cassette, and I still play, well, she had the DAT, I gave her the DAT tape and recorded it on cassette, and I still actually listen to that cassette from time to time because it's really quite good.
And Olga from Speed Buggy ended up in the Bernard Lakes, right? Remember Speed Buggy?
Yeah, I do remember.
And I remember Ida Nielsen.
Yes.
From
Great Aunt Ida.
Guess who's playing with Prince now? Another Ida.
Oh, alumni, really?
No, I don't think it's the same, but there's somebody called Ida Nielsen.
Oh, really? Playing with Prince?
Yeah, cool. And I thought it was maybe the Vancouver connection, but yeah, you don't think it was Great Aunt Ida this
point? Yeah, well, you never know. I checked.
And it wasn't. Oh, it isn't? I just thought it would be amazing if that actually all came through here.
Yeah, I think she moved to Toronto.
And you haven't also got obsessed with, maybe this lastly here will end on Kanye West. What happened?
My daughter Michaela sent me a text one day and she said, Kanye West is playing. And we had been listening to Yeezus like over and over again and had all the songs memorized. And she says, I'm freaking out. And I'd already flown her down to see when you had her on the show here in June of the same year. I had flown her down Taylor Swift. And so I thought, wow, what the hell, we may as well go to Kanye West too. And so I booked her a flight and she came down to see Kanye West. So then, right about 3 hours before the show started, it was announced online and we all got emails that the show had been canceled. Well, the poor girl was pretty upset. And so I promised her that, you know, that we would figure it out. And then they rescheduled it for about 2 weeks later. And I sent her back home and then booked her another flight to come down again to see Kanye West. She came down and we were going to take all of these pictures. And we went down to the Vancouver Hotel and we asked them if it was okay to take some photos. And we took all of these shots and we were having this amazing time. And she dressed up like she decked herself right out. And it was really, really, really special. And then as we were leaving the Vancouver Hotel, it was announced again that Kanye had canceled yet again. Well, she was really, really upset again. And then he never did return. And so I got my revenge by writing a song called Canceled Twice.
Four food groups of the apocalypse, San Francisco, 1995.
I was there.
Another group that we actually didn't get to. And actually, right now, there is a group we can get to. We'd like to get to Burn Dog Hyena. What are we going to end with right now as the news comes in here to CITR Radio?
We're going to end with a new version or newish version of an old song called Lizard Gardens, which was written by Joel Bodner, sitting beside me, also known as Fat Joe Satan. And it's called Lizard Gardens, and it was written in about 1983.
Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, Brian? Burn Dog Hyena, tonight at the Railway.
Yeah, right? You got to check us out. I mean, one thing about Burn Dog Hyena is all of our songs are different. We don't sound the same, so you're going to get a different experience with every song.
Evan, anything you'd like to add to the people out there? Joe?
I'm excited to see Aging Youth Gang.
Everybody's just going to give her.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming out to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. Really appreciate it, Burn Dog Hyena. Shout out to Sadi, too. Live Van.
Yes.
Livevan.com. So here we go. Burn Dog Hyena live on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, getting translated into a new recording by Burn Dog
Thank
Hyena.
You, not your buddy.
And check you out on MySpace, too, right? You're on MySpace.
And CBC and...
Burn Dog Hyena.
SoundCloud, yes.
Well, thanks very much, Burn Dog Hyena. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot doot a loot doo. Doot doot.
Doot doot. Let's go!